Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Another shoe has dropped just this morning in the fallout from the Penn State child abuse scandal. After last week's investigation showed widespread cover-ups on the part of Penn State officials, including Coach Joe Paterno, the NCAA this morning imposed severe sanctions on the program. Here's the judgment that they rendered, and people are asking the question, what does this actually have to do with what happened? Those who are skeptical are asking that question. Here's the list. It's a $60 million fine, with the proceeds going to an endowment fund for victims of sexual abuse. A four-year bowl ban, postseason ban. All Penn State victories from 1998 through last year are vacated, stripped from the record books. A reduction of annual scholarships, with current players being permitted to transfer and having immediate eligibility elsewhere. And a five-year probationary period in which the university will have to work with an NCAA monitor to ensure ethical conduct. Let's get some reaction to these from Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation. He also blogs at edgeofsports.com. Hi, Dave. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, great to be here, Brian.
Maybe the first thing to note is that they did not impose the so-called death penalty, which would have meant no more football at Penn State.
It's not the death penalty, but you might as well call it life without the possibility of parole. This will absolutely wreck Penn State, the athletic department, not just football, which is what people need to keep in mind. It's not just about football. It's about the entire athletic budget. It's every scholarship. It's every women's sports program, because the Penn State football program is what funds all of these other scholarships. So the effects of this are very, very far-reaching for not just the future of Penn State football, but also the past, because they'll never be able to say Joe Paterno, all-time winningest coach. He is now the 13th all-time winningest coach because they took away all his wins, as you said, from 1998 to 2011.
I want to play a clip of NCAA President Mark Emmert, who made these announcements, and he directly addressed his organization's reasoning for this collection of fines and penalties.
After much debate, however, we concluded that the sanctions needed to reflect our goals of driving cultural change as much as apply punitive actions. Suspension of the football program would bring with it significant unintended harm to many who had nothing to do with this case. The sanctions we have crafted are more focused and impactful than that blanket penalty. For the next several years now, Penn State can focus on the work of rebuilding its athletic culture, not worrying about whether or not it's going to a bowl game.
So that's a pretty curious statement. He says on the one hand that suspension would have had unintended harm for many who had nothing to do with this case if they just suspended the football program from being. And then he said the sanctions that we crafted have more impact than suspension.
I found this to be so farcical, if not extra legal and extra criminal. Look, the NCAA is a body that's designed to police recruitment violations. It's designed to police things like giving money under the table to potential student athletes. It's designed to police things like the amount of phone calls a high school student gets from an overeager coach. It is not designed to take on criminal and civil charges, which is what this is. This is why we have civil and criminal courts. This is why we have a public legal system in this country. The NCAA is a private body whose CEO, who you just we just heard from, Mark Emmert, makes $1.7 million a year and sells the rights of players to everything from video games to T-shirts to their likenesses on credit cards. And they are concerned about their brand. They are concerned about their image. And so what they are doing is intervening in a public university and taking money out of the budget of a public university.
But,
so this has huge, far-reaching ramifications.
But, Dave, are you suggesting that the NCAA, as the organization that governs standards and practices in college football, should do something to a school if they take a recruit out to lunch against the rules, but do nothing if there's a years-long child abuse scandal?
Honestly, I think the NCAA should do nothing, period. I think they are part of the problem. One of the things that Louis Freeh said in his report, former FBI director, that the problem is the culture of reverence that we have for college football in this country. And I agree with that. I don't think there should be amateur college football. I don't think there should be an NCAA. I think that this is a horribly managed program of indentured servitude where you turn so-called student athletes into employees of a campus. And with this decision today against Penn State, it's about protecting the shop. It's like Tony Soprano taking out the neighborhood drug dealer. Wow. And keeping the trains running on time. It's an ugly situation, and I think it's something that people should frankly oppose.
Here's a little more of NCAA President Mark Emmert talking about one thing that he thinks this scandal should teach us.
One of the grave dangers stemming from our love of sports is that the sports themselves can become too big to fail, indeed too big to even challenge. The result can be an erosion of academic values that are replaced by the value of hero worship and winning at all costs. All involved in intercollegiate athletics must be watchful that programs and individuals do not overwhelm the values of higher education. In the Penn State case, the results were perverse and unconscionable.
So Dave, he seems to be saying the same thing as you are in terms of values, but with a slightly different conclusion.
Yeah, because it's like Larry Summers lecturing Wall Street. I mean, it's something that this man's $1.7 million a year salary is built on that very too-big-to-fail concept. And just to be clear, I'm not saying anything radical. I mean, W.E.B. Du Bois was talking about this 100 years ago, about the ridiculousness of the role that college football plays on an American campus. And people in other countries think we're nuts. They're like, wait a minute, do you mean your universities are the minor leagues for your pro NFL teams? That's a tad curious. And what he's doing right now is defending that model. And that's what makes it so problematic. And that's why I think it would have been in everyone's best interest for them to just stay out of it and let the civil and criminal courts do their job. This doesn't bring justice to any of Sandusky's victims, and it certainly doesn't put the spotlight where it should be, which is on the Board of Trustees of Penn State and others who may have played a role in covering up for Sandusky. Instead, what it does is it provides a willing scapegoat for the public to feel like the NCAA is the white knight on the horse, when in the reality they're the opposite.
At least the $60 million fine goes to an endowment fund for victims of sexual abuse. Do you take that at face value, or do you think the NCAA as an organization actually enriches itself through that fine in any way?
No, I mean, I don't think that they enrich themselves directly through that fine. I do think that the kind of civil and criminal complaints that we're going to go against, let's keep in mind $60 million. That's only 60% of the athletic budget in general. And this is a school with a $1.8 billion endowment and a $4.6 billion operating budget. I mean, they are going to get that $60 million back in alumni donations, who now are going to feel besieged in the next 7 days, I bet. I'll bet you that right now. This is a problem in that it doesn't actually administer justice. They would have been better off saying to Penn State, give $80 million to a child abuse prevention home, and I'll bet you they would have done that very quickly and very happily and enjoyed the positive publicity of looking like they were doing something.
The penalties against Penn State just announced. Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation. He also blogs at edgeofsports.com. Dave, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And Dave mentioned how we look to other countries, at least with respect to our college football programs. Well, we will talk a lot about how we look to another country and how that country looks to us with our very special next guest, the former Prime Minister of Canada, Paul Martin. New figures show Canada has passed the United States for the first time in average household wealth. So we will talk about that almost inconceivable idea to most Americans of Canadians being richer than us, plus single-payer health insurance and more, with the former Prime Minister of Canada, Paul Martin, coming up next. Stay with us.